The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 4 podcast.
And we have made it to the final hour on a Wednesday. Reminder, Friday live in Oxford at the Grove. And Lane Kiffin will join us early in our show. Let's continue with more of your phone calls. Cecil Hurt will join us in a few minutes. Kirk is up next. Hello, Kirk.
Hey, Paul. How you doing?
Quite well. Thank you.
Good. The interview with Brandon Marcello was really great. And his comment about fixing officiating, wow, that was really something that should be raised to the forefront and really championed. It has to be done. It's funny. I was on a business call earlier today. I'm an Alabama alum, and I was talking to a Georgia alum. And he even brought up a game a few years ago. He's like, yeah, and that call there and this call. He was remembering horrible calls and stuff. It just hurts the game. It's terrible. But are the network cameras that you guys bring to the games, is that the main ones they use for replay?
I believe so. I've been in the command center, so I should know the answer to this. But yeah, they have every angle that the television networks broadcast, whether it's CBS or ESPN, and they have the ability to look at all those shots to do whatever they want with them, and they're obviously in communication with the head official on the field as well.
Well, it does seem like what he said, they should all be full-time pros. It's almost like every official on the field should have a guy up in the box in his ear saying, yeah, okay, I see why you threw the flag, but I'm looking at it right now.
Yeah, but
whatever,
Kirk, the problem is that in the NFL, they are full-time officials, but the season is longer. And I know a lot of, as you may know, some officials. I mean, they have professions, and this is I don't think any of them do it for the money. I think they do it because they genuinely enjoy where they are and being a part of it. I mean, officials take their jobs very seriously. It doesn't mean they're right. I'm just saying that, but it's a part-time gig.
Great point. And with that being said, keep it that way. But let's just improve the technology for them. I mean, I don't know what goes on in tennis and some other sports and all, but there's got to be a way.
Well, but Kirk, I have a friend who's a Red Sox fan, so I heard him going on ad nauseum this morning about the strike last night that wasn't called that could have completely changed the game. So, Major League Baseball has more money than the NFL, but I mean, they get it wrong wherever they are. I mean, and replays help. They help considerably, and considering how much better it is, it's never going to be perfect. And I know that sounds like a pretty worthless comment, but that's what I'm saying. Tom is in Fort Myers, and you're on the air. Hello, Tom.
Thank you for taking my call.
Thank you.
I got one question for you. Tell me another college coach that has a starting quarterback that has 85% of his passes that are thrown behind the receivers besides Dan Mullen.
I don't think I can help you with a better answer. You've nailed it.
Well, is it going to get any better or is he going to get worse? You may need to get new coach.
Listen, I think it's early to be asking. I mean, I think Dan Mullen is a good coach, but he's got a problem. He's got a real issue down there, and I don't know what he is going to do next week, but I know if he doesn't start Anthony Richardson, he's going to upset a lot of people.
Anything that give me a quarterback can throw the ball to the receivers and give them a chance to catch it instead of making them targets.
Yeah, I mean, coaches face certain situations. I think this is really going to be a crucible for him because fans, I talked to some people in Gainesville today. I talked to Buddy Martin last night, and there's definitely a turnout on him right now, and that's a dangerous thing to happen as you're heading toward the biggest game of the year. Thank you for the call. Do appreciate it very, very much. Let's check in with Larry, who is up next. Larry, are you there?
Yes, Larry from Shelby is here.
Well, you are on the air.
All right. I'm not going to ask how you're doing because I don't care. Hey, check it out, man. Jim from Tuscaloosa, hey, he said something nice about me the other day, kind of shocked me. Told me not to have no heart attack. So that's nice. I think most people just jealous of him. Not they hate him, but they just more jealous. But he's okay. I mean, he brings something to show that lights are lines up. But, you know, we're talking about pictures. You getting a picture made without your shirt on? That was kind of funny. All you got to do is turn sideways, brother. Ain't no way they get
So, Larry, I was talking about Bruce Pearl, who did do you think I would look okay without a shirt on?
Yeah, man,
I can do it. I can do it right now if you want. I can just take my jacket off and.
Hell yeah, man! I've seen you do that almost one time.
Yeah,
almost.
I did. I did. I mean, I am not. I have nothing to be ashamed of. I mean, I'm a.
Hey, that's right, brother. You get out there and run about 8 or 10 miles like you do. And I bet you got that old washboard, ain't you, stomach? You know, them little ripples.
You would be shocked at what I look like without a shirt. And the audience would be shocked, too, and that's why I'm not doing it.
Come on, man. Hey, come on. Just one time for the audience and all your fans. We want to see
you. You know, Larry, I'm just afraid if I did that, I'd have so many offers for Hollywood that I'd never be able to talk to you again.
You got that right, because you are, you got everything going, you Paul Feinbaum, you make me jealous, you know?
Well,
I mean, you got everything. You got all the friends in the world. Everybody just loves you, you know that. I mean, like the one guy said he was going to skin your ass. He loves you.
Yeah, Larry, that did make me a little bit uncomfortable. That made me uncomfortable, okay?
No, he was talking about skinning you like a deer.
Yeah, no, I lived in Alabama 30-some-odd years. I know what that means, and I didn't think that was really a compliment that the guy wanted to skin me alive or dead.
Yeah, and then when he said, well, how much you weigh, Paul? How tall are you? I need to know before I skin you. I thought, well, hell no, I ain't going to tell him my lad if he's going to skin me.
Well, first of all, it's not even deer season yet, is it?
No, not yet, but I don't think he cares about deer season.
I guess if he were to skin me, he probably wouldn't care whether the warden took away his deer license, would he? Probably not. Anyway, let's head to break. We want to talk to Cecil Hurt coming up here in a minute, the sports editor and longtime columnist at the Tuscaloosa News. Can't wait to talk to him.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%. Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/Paul. That's HIMS.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. HIMS.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
We welcome you back. Listening to Nick Saban talk about the importance of the Alabama-Tennessee game. Our next guest has heard him say that now, I think, 15 consecutive years. And I don't know why. It just seems a little more forced every time, considering the way that rivalry has gone. Cecil Hurt joining us. Cecil, there was a time when this was one of the biggest weeks of the year. I don't want to take away from Saturday's game. I know it's a big deal, but where has this rivalry gone? Hello.
Well, hi, Paul. How are you? It's gone, you know, one thing, obviously, Alabama's won so many in a row. And you don't have the coaching rivalries that you had. You know, Bryant and Neyland, obviously, and you know, Fulmer against Stallings. And you know, Tennessee just seems to turn over every couple of years. So I think that's taken a lot away from it. I'm not taking anything away from Josh Heupel, but you just don't have that long-term rivalry anymore. Fulmer, obviously, was a huge rival for whatever various reasons.
Some good reasons.
For Alabama fans, and it's not like that anymore. It's Nick against the coach of the week.
Mm. So accurate and so fitting. Cecil, you know, this rivalry got so bad that, I don't want to interview myself here, but I mean, as you well know, I mean, we had you on countless times a week, and I mean, there was a time when this was all people talked about because Alabama fans hated Tennessee so much. It had nothing to do with the field. It had everything to do with Philip Fulmer.
It did, and it's such a complicated story between Logan Young and Roy Adams and Philip Fulmer, obviously, and it reached a point where you wondered if Roy Kramer was going to let him keep playing. That was how hostile it was. And I think finally getting a win against Fulmer eased a little of that. And then when Nick comes in, he's got none of that back. You know, Nick doesn't carry, wasn't involved in any of that, wasn't part of any of that. And it's almost a hard story to explain to people now because the NCAA is so different. The investigative process is so different now. It's going to be fascinating to see what Jeremy Pruitt does. If he indeed takes Tennessee to court, but it's not something that Nick's involved in or Alabama's involved in. And so it's just football. And it used to be, I mean, it really was talked about 365 days a year, both that aspect of it. You have people who remember Peyton leading the band at Legion Field. You have people who remember Tennessee finally beating Coach Bryant, and in a very different way. Not comparable to Saturday night, but you were there. You saw how quickly the goalposts came down.
Oh, yeah.
And it's just been so long since there's been a moment like that in the series.
Speaking of moments like that, we did see one week and a half ago in College Station, and you know, mm-hmm. people always look at moments like that and try to figure out what they mean. It seems like it's I'm not living there, but you are. It seems like it's calmed down after a pretty good performance against Mississippi State. So what is the state of the Alabama program right now?
It's kind of one at a time. I think there's it's been a little chaotic at Tennessee, obviously, LSU more so. Arkansas seems to face, so it's evolved into yet another one of those years where a lot of wariness about Alabama and Auburn. And then, you know, Georgia's just been so good that if Alabama goes ahead and wins the West, they got to win that game to make the playoff. And so it's a wariness, but sort of a one game at a time situation to try and, first of all, a lot of Georgia watching, and second of all, to keep getting better where they can perform in a game like that and be successful.
See, so it was interesting being in Athens last weekend, and I heard this from a lot of people close to that program, and yeah, they were, you know, the Nick Saban, Kirby Smart conversation never really ends, and it will heat up again. But there was almost a conversation that Kirby Smart has taken what he did at Alabama from at least a defensive standpoint and moved it to Georgia. I realize that's not exactly the way things work, but I think you know where I'm going here. And I'm really curious what your thought is on what he is doing over there.
Well, first of all, what tremendous players they have. And that is, you know, what Nick liked to do and liked to have with his great defensive 2011-2012 type defenses. not to spark this controversy, but
please do.
Game manager, quarterback, really good running back. It is very similar. It really is. But they're just so strong up front. And really, 11 deep every position on defense, but particularly up front, they just hadn't faced anybody yet that can hang with them at the line of scrimmage. And then that's what, if you think back to the LSU games, the Alabama-LSU game of the century, that's what that was built on. Great big guys that you couldn't knock off the ball and that you couldn't really run against. And, you know, it's going to take, I think, you saw them more closely than I did, a really elite quarterback performance to have a chance. Now, there's some names down the road, both in the SEC and out, that would be possible, but you know, whether Bryce Young is that name or not, it'll be fascinating to see.
Speaking of Bryce Young, I was on a program earlier today, and one of my colleagues suggested that he would still be the Heisman favorite, and we all know the Heisman isn't won or lost, but he's having a at least outside of where you are, maybe a very quiet year for somebody who is playing as well as he is. How would you assess him so far?
He's playing really well. He just doesn't seem to have grabbed the nation's attention. You know, if they go to Atlanta and win against Georgia, and he'll suddenly be, you know, right there. I think that the country is looking at for somebody different. You know, Alabama won it with a wide receiver last year. They've won it three times under Nick. And so I think the country is looking for something a little bit different. He may have a little factor, Paul, of the he'll be back next year factor when voting comes. But on the flip side, it's hard to think what he could do better and how he could perform better. So it'll be interesting to see, but we're a long way. So somebody in November and even into the December is going to step up and be that player. And whether it's Bryce or Bijan Robinson or Matt Corral, remains to be seen.
Yeah, I think the Heisman obsession is way overdone, but it doesn't stop people on major shows from discussing it, and I just did.
There's some interest in it, but he just doesn't, for whatever reason, doesn't seem to have sparked the public the way Tua did. The way Mac did. Of course, Mac had a teammate who won it, but that's through no fault of Bryce's. I don't know what else he could have done.
Let me close by talking about Nick Saban, and we mentioned the Kirby situation, and you've seen him after that rare loss. This one at least seemed different. Losing to Jimbo Fisher, but how would you characterize Nick Saban since that night in College Station?
He doesn't like losing. I don't ever want people to misinterpret that he likes losing or that he feels like losing is good for you. But I think that sometimes he's got to, for want of a better word, a complacent team, and he doesn't mind them being shaken around a little bit. Now, he would have preferred that A&M missed the field goal and he gone down and kicked one, but it doesn't – you get so many people who say, his post-game press conference after this game is going to be fire and brimstone, and he's going to really be on them Monday and so forth. And it doesn't operate like that. He is much more volatile after a close win than he is after a loss, because he feels like now he has now the team will get the message and he doesn't have to preach like that.
Cecil Hurt, always a must-listen conversation. The longest – I always joke when I see you and say you're the longest-running continuous guest on this program, and that only speaks, I think, more – it speaks to your ability and your – and but I think, unfortunately for me, it speaks to our longevity.
Well, it does. This will be Alabama-Tennessee game 45 in a row for me, which leaves me far short of the beloved Gus Manning record. But I'm closer to Gus than I am to somebody who went to college 3 years ago.
What was his number? Do you remember?
Gus saw the 39 game.
Oh, man.
And with Beatty Feathers. Gus was a long, for those who don't know, Gus was a long-time employee at Tennessee and a bit of a character and told great stories and really was beloved in Knoxville. And I'm pretty sure that Gus pushed it close to 75.
Wow.
In a row.
Well, Cecil, you're at 45, and I want you to keep I want to be talking to you in a couple of years as you hit 50. So,
okay, that would be a landmark, believe me.
Yeah, and I don't mean you hitting 50, although that we probably missed that one, but I mean 50 for the Tennessee-Alabama game. Great to talk to you again. I really appreciate your time.
Sure, Paul. Glad to do it.
Cecil Hurt. I've been talking to Cecil for so many years, and there's no one, and I mean nobody, who has more knowledge and perspective on the history of Alabama football and the current status than him. We will take a break and get your phone calls.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Tired of of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to Amazon.com/ESPNPods. That's Amazon.com/ESPNPods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
We welcome you back. Listening to Nick Saban talk about the importance of the Alabama-Tennessee game. Our next guest has heard him say that now, I think, 15 consecutive years. And I don't know why. It just seems a little more forced every time, considering the way that rivalry has gone. Cecil Hurt joining us. Cecil, there was a time when this was one of the biggest weeks of the year. I don't want to take away from Saturday's game. I know it's a big deal, but where has this rivalry gone? Hello.
Well, hi, Paul. How are you? It's gone, you know, one thing, obviously, Alabama's won so many in a row. And you don't have the coaching rivalries that you had. You know, Bryant and Neyland, obviously, and you know, Fulmer against Stallings, and you know, Tennessee just seems to turn over every couple of years. So I think that's taken a lot away from it. I'm not taking anything away from Josh Heupel, but you just don't have that long-term rivalry anymore. That Fulmer obviously was a huge rival for whatever various reasons.
Some good reasons
for Alabama fans, and it is not like that anymore. It's Nick against the coach of the week.
So accurate and so fitting. Cecil, you know, this rivalry got so bad that, I don't want to interview myself here, but I mean, as you well know, I mean, we had you on countless times a week, and I mean, there was a time when this was all people talked about because Alabama fans hated Tennessee so much. It had nothing to do with the field. It had everything to do with Philip Fulmer.
It did, and it's such a complicated story between Logan Young and Roy Adams and Philip Fulmer, obviously, and it reached a point where you wondered if Roy Kramer was going to let him keep playing. That was how hostile it was. And I think finally getting a win against Fulmer eased a little of that. And then when Nick comes in, he's got none of that back. You know, Nick doesn't carry, wasn't involved in any of that, wasn't part of any of that. And it's almost a hard story to explain to people now because the NCAA is so different. The investigative process is so different now. It's going to be fascinating to see what Jeremy Pruitt does if he indeed takes Tennessee to court. But it's not something that Nick's involved in or Alabama's involved in. And so it's just football. And it used to be, I mean, it really was talked about 365 days a year. Both that aspect of it. You have people who remember Peyton leading the band at Legion Field. You have people who remember Tennessee finally beating Coach Bryant, and in a very different way. Not comparable to Saturday night, but you were there. You saw how quickly the goalposts came down.
Oh, yeah.
And it's just been so long since there's been a moment like that in the series.
Speaking of moments like that, we did see one a week and a half ago in College Station, and you know, people always look at moments like that and try to figure out what they mean. It seems like it's – I'm not living there, but you are. It seems like it's calmed down after a pretty good performance against Mississippi State. So what is the state of the Alabama program right now?
It's kind of one at a time. I think there's it's been a little chaotic at Tennessee, obviously, LSU more so. Arkansas, it seems to say, so it's evolved into yet another one of those years where a lot of wariness about Alabama and Auburn. And then, you know, Georgia's just been so good that if Alabama goes ahead and wins the West, they got to win that game to make the playoff. And so it's a wariness, but sort of a one game at a time situation to try and, first of all, a lot of Georgia watching, and second of all, to keep getting better where they can perform in a game like that and be successful.
See, so it was interesting being in Athens last weekend, and I heard this from a lot of people close to that program, and yeah, they were, you know, the Nick Saban, Kirby Smart conversation never really ends, and it will heat up again. But there was almost a conversation that Kirby Smart has taken what he did at Alabama from at least a defensive standpoint and moved it to Georgia. I realize that's not exactly the way things work, but I think you know where I'm going here. And I'm really curious what your thought is on what he is doing over there.
Well, first of all, what tremendous players they have. And that is, you know, what Nick liked to do and liked to have with his great defensive 2011-2012 type defenses. not to spark this controversy, but
please do.
Game manager, quarterback, really good running back. It is very similar. It really is. But they're just so strong up front. And really, 11 deep every position on defense, but particularly up front. They just hadn't faced anybody yet that can hang with them at the line of scrimmage. And then that's what, if you think back to the LSU games, the Alabama-LSU game of the century, that's what that was built on. Great big guys that you couldn't knock off the ball and that you couldn't really run against. And, yeah, you know, it's going to take, I think, you saw them more closely than I did, a really elite quarterback performance to have a chance. Now, there's some names down the road, both in the SEC and out, that would be possible, but you know, whether Bryce Young is that name or not, it'll be fascinating to see.
Speaking of Bryce Young, I was on a program earlier today, and one of my colleagues suggested that he would still be the Heisman favorite, and we all know the Heisman isn't won or lost, but he's having a at least outside of where you are, maybe a very quiet year for somebody who is playing as well as he is. How would you assess him so far?
He's playing really well. He just doesn't seem to have grabbed the nation's attention. You know, if they go to Atlanta and win against Georgia, and he'll suddenly be, you know, right there. I think that the country is looking at for somebody different. You know, Alabama won it with a wide receiver last year. They've won it three times under Nick. And so I think the country is looking for something a little bit different. He may have a little factor, Paul, of the he'll be back next year factor when the voting comes. But on the flip side, it's hard to think what he could do better and how he could perform better. So it'll be interesting to see, but we're a long way. So somebody in November and even into the December is going to step up and be that player. And whether it's Bryce or Bijan Robinson or Matt Corral, remains to be seen.
Yeah, I think the Heisman obsession is way overdone, but it doesn't stop people on major shows from discussing it, and I just did.
There's some interest in it, but he just doesn't, for whatever reason, doesn't seem to have sparked the public the way Tua did, or the way Mac did. Of course, Mac had a teammate who won it, but that's through no fault of Bryce's. I don't know what else he could have done.
Let me close by talking about Nick Saban, and we mentioned the Kirby situation, and you've seen him after that rare loss. This one at least seemed different, losing to Jimbo Fisher. But how would you characterize Nick Saban since that night in College Station?
He doesn't like losing. I don't ever want people to misinterpret that he likes losing or that he feels like losing is good for you. But I think that sometimes he's got to, for want of a better word, a complacent team, and he doesn't mind them being shaken around a little bit. Now, he would have preferred that A&M missed the field goal and he gone down and kicked one. But it doesn't – you get so many people who say, his post-game press conference after this game is going to be fire and brimstone and he's going to really be on them Monday and so forth. And it doesn't operate like that. He is much much more – volatile after a close win than he is after a loss, because he feels like now he has the mess. Now the team will get the message, and he doesn't have to preach like that.
Cecil Hurt, always must listen conversation. The longest. I always joke when I see you and say you're the longest running continuous guest on this program, and that only speaks, I think, more. It speaks to your ability but I think unfortunately for me it speaks to our longevity.
Well, it does. This will be Alabama Tennessee game 45 in a row for me, which leaves me far short of the beloved Gus Manning record, but I'm closer to Gus than I am to somebody who went to college 3 years ago.
What was his number? Do you remember?
Gus saw the 39 game.
Oh, man.
And with Beatty Feathers. Gus was a long time employee at Tennessee and a bit of a character and told great stories and really was beloved in Knoxville. And I'm pretty sure that Gus pushed it close to 75.
Wow.
In a row.
Well, Cecil, you're at 45, and I want you to keep I want to be talking to you in a couple of years as you hit 50. So,
okay, that would be a landmark, believe me.
Yeah, I don't mean you hitting 50, although that we probably missed that one, but I mean 50 for the Tennessee-Alabama game. Great to talk to you again. I really appreciate your time.
Sure, Paul. Glad to do it.
Cecil Hurt, I've been talking to Cecil for so many years, and there's no one, and I mean nobody, who has more knowledge and perspective on the history of Alabama football and the current status than him. We will take a break and get your phone calls.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Oh, Ben. How about Mike in Los Angeles? Hello, Mike.
Afternoon, Paul.
Thank you. Good afternoon
to you. So, you know, based on the injuries Tennessee has on the offensive side of the ball, particularly the offensive line, quarterback, and running back, I don't know. The line is Bama by 29, and I see him covering. If you're Josh Heupel, and do you think he knows he's going to get beat?
Yeah, Josh Heupel to me looks like a pretty smart guy. All you have to do is take a look at the game film, which he's looked at now for 3 days. He knows the score.
Yeah, because they made Ole Miss look like Georgia defensively, and people, the announcers, I think it was Jordan Rogers, and I forget the other guy calling the game. They were just really praising Ole Miss's defense, and I thought, well, if Ole Miss can do that to Tennessee at home, what's Tennessee going to look like facing that Alabama defense? And so,
do we know what Hooker's status is?
No, he had a press conference today, and he talked about, you know, it's unknown. He has practiced some,
okay,
but he's kind of keeping it close to the vest. So we know Hendon Hooker's not in a boot, so he's out there. So, you know, I mean, they have a possibility of covering if Cooper, Cade Mays, and Hooker play. But otherwise, if Tyon Evans and those guys aren't back, it's not going to look good. So what's Heupel trying to accomplish in that game? Are you just trying to get healthy enough to hope to beat Kentucky?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know how he thinks. I mean, you have to be very careful, though, because you literally don't – I mean, you've come off a long and difficult game, and you've got the toughest game of the year, and you have Kentucky, and I'm trying to remember the schedule, Georgia after that.
You've got Kentucky, Georgia, and there's one more.
Vanderbilt, so there's Vanderbilt, and then a non-conference. I mean, you know you're going to win your last two, so it's
– Yeah, you're
going
to get six.
Yeah, it's Kentucky and Georgia. So I think you just want to make it look like you're continuing the trajectory. I think like the Florida game, but this is going to be a real challenge. It's too bad. I'd love to see this team at full strength, which we're not going to see Saturday. We're out of time. We hope you have a great night.
Thank you for listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast. The Paul Feinbaum Show airs weekdays on the SEC Network, beginning at 3 Eastern.